إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. وبعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Actually, there's been some events that have happened from the Qadr and the Qadha of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Brother Fareed Abdullah, we talked to him about 3 hours ago and he can't make it. We talked to him in California, and they also had suggested that I talk at the room down the hallway to our left, and I said, why should I speak on a subject that probably most of us know about, Asma wa Sifat, to a group of maybe only 10 or 15 people that could fit in the room and no women? I said, this has been one of the big complaints of Quran and Sunnah Society. From what I know, the women are always saying they're being shorted, being slighted. So I came here to tell Sheikh Suhaib and Brother Kamal, who's in charge, to just listen to Sheikh Suhaib on As-Siratul Nabawiyyah Sahiha, on the authentic seerah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But unfortunately, you see me sitting here, so I guess I have to talk about this Asma wa Sifat, something that I believe that probably most of you know about. This particular part of our belief of Tawheed, we already know, is extremely important. And it is so important that if we don't try to get an understanding of it, we will have some naqs, we will have some deficiency in our belief. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He has some names and He has some attributes, and we shouldn't confuse them. And for sake of time, we're just going to give an abridged version of our belief in the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat, of Allah's beautiful names and perfect attributes. Probably the most important thing to start with is that we should know the difference between a name and an attribute. And the difference between a name and an attribute, believe it or not, even for us who speak English, is sometimes confused. I remember when I was doing this topic in the masjid where I used to be the imam, where I hope that the imam who is there now, he will show up, and not like Fareed Abdullah, he won't miss the plane, Brother Abu Muslima. I was asking the class, what is the difference between a name and an attribute? Can you give me the definition of a name? And this is one of those things that you can go to the dictionary, you can get a very good understanding of this. The definition basically of a name is something that is something called. Something that something is called. That's it. Like a title or something. So this particular thing called name, or ism in Arabic, something that something is called, doesn't necessarily give you the attribute of that thing. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. For instance, if I were to say that it's round, it's citrus, it has vitamin C, it grows on trees, it has a rind, it has seeds in it, some of you may say a grapefruit. Some of you may say a tangerine. Some of you may say a lemon. Some of you may say a lime, until I give you more attributes. And if I give you another attribute, then you'll finally say an orange. And that's what I had in my mind, an orange. So here, some of the attributes gives you some understanding by virtue of the name. The name itself gives you some of the attributes. But there are some things, some names of some things, that don't give you the attributes or characteristics of those things. For instance, if it were not for the fact that we would not have known what a car was, the word car would not tell you the attribute of that thing. The word car, C-A-R, it would not tell you what that thing is. But automobile gives you a better idea of what that thing is. Automobile. But if I were to describe it and not give you the name, it has a steering wheel, it has a dashboard, it rolls down the street or the road, you can put fuel in it. You may say a car, automobile, but it may just be a boat. And it may just be a plane. So you need more attributes. And there's a story that when the European people came to Australia, that they were talking through interpreters to the Aborigines, the original inhabitants of Australia. They were asking the Aborigine Australians, what is this animal that stands between 3 to 5 feet tall, has a pouch on its belly, a long tail, looks like a big mouse, and it hops around on these large feet? And they asked them, what is that? And the people in their language said, kangaroo. Kangaroo. Does anybody know what kangaroo means in the language of the Aborigines? I don't know. That's what kangaroo means. I don't know. So here's a word of an animal, the name of an animal. The name doesn't tell you about the thing, nor the attribute. It's something that just means I don't know. So now when you see a kangaroo, you can say there's an I don't know. Right? So the name sometimes gives you the attribute or the characteristics of the thing, and sometimes it doesn't. And this is something that we need to know, that the name of a thing is just that. And the attribute of a thing is the description. So if we said, it doesn't sleep, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're talking about Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Not necessarily. It does not mean, because لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ, sleep nor slumber overtakes it not. I can say the same thing about the wall. The exact same thing. The wall doesn't sleep, nor does slumber overtake it. Same thing. So that's an attribute that the wall has. And that's an attribute that Allah has negated from himself. So just because we see attributes that we know that Allah has or doesn't have, it doesn't necessarily mean that we're talking about Allah until we get the entire picture of what Allah or how Allah has described himself, or the names Allah has given himself. Remember, this is just an abridged version of our belief, and it's a kind of unorthodox way of doing it. But I think these pictures will give a clearer understanding in a nutshell. Because there are a lot of principles pertaining to Asma wa Sifat, and I don't like to do it in the, for lack of better words, orthodox way. For instance, Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has some names of which it is impermissible for the Muslim or anyone to call him by synonyms of those names, unless we find Allah Azza wa Jal or his Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam calling Allah by synonyms of the name that Allah called himself by. For instance, Allah, one of Allah's names is Kareem. And in fact, I think we need to stop here and give the distinction between those things that we're calling names and attributes. Ar-Rahman is not an attribute. People call them the 99 attributes. No. Ar-Rahman is a name of Allah. Ar-Rahim is a name of Allah. And intrinsically, innately, inside, incorporated inside of those names, linguistically or etymologically, in the root structure of that name, the origin of that name, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, there is Rahmah. There is the sifa or the attribute Rahmah. One is a name, the other is an attribute. Allah has the name Kareem, Al-Kareem. This word is exactly the meaning As-Sakhi. As-Sakhi. Sakhi means Kareem, and Kareem means Sakhi. They're synonyms. But it's not permissible to call Allah Sakhi, which means Kareem, because Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala didn't call himself Sakhi. He called himself Kareem, even though that's the meaning. Do you understand what we're saying? Do you understand? Everybody looks lost. You understand? Once Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala calls himself something, you cannot now take another name which is the same meaning of that name and say Allah is that also. You can't do that. We can't give Allah names that he didn't give himself. We can't ascribe attributes to Allah that he didn't attribute to himself. We know that Allah is the creator of everything. We agree, right? We don't, huh? You brothers are tired. I'm the one who had to wait in the airport for 9 hours. Come on, you should be... Wake up, brothers. Wake up. I'm ready to give you... Wash your bodies and shroud you and give you Fotak beers. You must be dead. Right? We agree that Allah is the creator, right? Allah is khaliq wa kull shay, right? Of everything. Did Allah create the khanzir? What's khanzir? Big, right? Can we stand in front of the Kaaba or in Scandinavia or in Australia or Pakistan or whatever or anywhere and make dua, say Ya khaliq al-khanzir, O creator of pigs? Can we do that? But Allah is the creator of pigs, right? Huh? Isn't he? Why can't we do that? That's him, right? Isn't he the creator of pigs? Can we call him that? Why not? Because Allah and his messenger didn't call him that. That's the principle. You understand? In a nutshell, there are other principles pertaining to the names and attributes of Allah. There are some names that some people have taken other forms of the names that Allah called himself. They've taken form from the same root and called Allah that. For instance, some people call Allah Satir, especially in Sudan. You find people calling Allah Satir or Sattar. Sattar. You see people call Abdus Sattar, the servant of the veiler. Satir and Sattar basically mean the same thing. They have some various slight differences in the meaning, but they all come from the same root, to cover. Satara, to cover. It's not permissible to take one of Allah's names or attributes, and some of the scholars differ, which is Sittir. Allah is Sittir, right? The coverer. You can't take the word Sittir and take one of the forms of that word, Satar or Satir, and call Allah Satir or Satar. Why? It's because Allah didn't call himself this. But we do have the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أو كما قاله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the meaning of what he said was, إذا أتى أحدكم بيت الخلاء فليستتر فليستتر فإن الله حيي ستير ويحب عن عبده أن يستتر. That when any of you goes to relieve himself, the bathroom, that he should veil himself, because Allah is حييٌ ستير. He is the shy and a manner befitting his majesty, and he is the veiler and a manner befitting his majesty and his greatness. And he loves from his slaves that they veil themselves. So here the highlighted point is that Allah calls himself ستير, and not ساتير, and not ستار. So we can't call Allah that, even though the meaning is similar and it's derived from the same root. Do we understand? Okay. There are also some names or attributes that Allah tabaraka ta'ala negates, as we mentioned. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. Slumber nor sleep overtakes him not. He is not overcome by the prelude of sleep, nor is he overcome by sleep itself. So this is an attribute that we call, the scholars, not me, we, because I'm not a scholar, that the scholars of Islam call salbiyya, al-asma'u salbiyya, attributes or names, attributes, sifatu salbiyya, that Allah negates, denies. He's not, I'm not this. That's basically what Allah is saying. He's saying that sleep nor slumber overtake him not. He does not fall asleep. He does not have rest. Like there's a group in the northeast part of the United States called the Five Percenters. The Five Percenters comes from, it's a pagan, heathenistic, mushrik group that comes from the Nation of Islam. The guy who started the Five Percenters was named Clarence 13X, I believe it was, in Harlem, New York. Back in the 60s, he was shot about five or six times by the police, and he lived, took himself to Harlem Hospital, and he lived. So he started calling himself Allah. All right? Well, this group came from Elijah Muhammad's group, because Elijah Muhammad used to teach that there was the 10%ers, the 5%ers, and the 85%ers. The 5%ers were the people who knew the truth. They knew the truth. The 10%ers were the people who were keeping the people slaves, who were the white people, the people who had the power. And the 85%ers were the ignorant people, the ignorant black people. Anyway, he started this group called the 5%ers, and it's very interesting because the former mayor of that city of New York is the one who helped fund them. A white man, Mayor Lindsay, he funded them, gave them these little pins. They were in their left side of their lapel with a 7 on it, with a star. And they call New York Mecca, and they call Brooklyn Medina, and they call Queens Jerusalem. Right? This is the 5%ers. Anyway, the 5%ers, they try to get real slick on Allah's asma wa sifat. They try to circumvent the principles of asma wa sifat. They say, no, we don't sleep, because we know Allah doesn't sleep. We just take rest. So when you see a 5%er, he's saying, when his eyes are closed, he doesn't know what's going on around him or her. And they'll say when they wake up, I wasn't sleeping, I was resting. Right? But Allah says, لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. The thing that is the prelude or the preface or the introduction to sleep doesn't even overcome Allah. You see, he denies this of himself. Like in the hadith collected by Ad-Daylami, I believe, or Ad-Darimi, one or the other. We can ask Sheikh Suhaib. I think it's Ad-Daylami with an authentic chain, inshaAllah ta'ala. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa to stand up with two jars. Now, of course, he's an obedient servant. So he stood up with two jars, and there's one in his right and one in his left hand. And the beginning of that night, of course, alhamdulillah, he stood up strong. And in the middle of that night, he began to get kind of sleepy. And then the last part of the night, he dropped the jars. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa, if I were you, if you were me, if you were me, then you would all be destroyed, because I have the heavens and the earth in my hands. You see? So this sleep nor slumber doesn't overtake Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an attribute that is salbiyah. It's salbi, meaning Allah negates it. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Allah says He does not oppress or become unjust to any of His servants. So when you waited for 18 years, sister, to have a baby, then finally in the 19th year you got pregnant, and then you're driving down the street with the little baby in the car seat, and you have an accident, and the baby dies. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Your Lord is never unjust or unfair to you. Never. It's in His hikmah baligha. It's in His expansively wide wisdom that that child died. This is not unjust. This is from the wisdom and justice of Allah ta'ala to help us grow in our souls and our hearts, to get closer to Allah and to call on Him when we have a calamity. But the point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates any injustice to Himself. Any injustice whatsoever. And there are other attributes of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negates. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. He neither begets nor is He begotten. He doesn't have children, nor did He come from the womb of a woman. As the Louis Farrakhan, the munharif, murtad, mushrik, kafir, says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is makhluq. Allah is created. He's mawlud. That Allah is born. Created out of the womb of a white woman named Baby G, and his father's name is Alfonso. This is what Farrakhan teaches, right? Well, Allah negates this of Himself. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Allah does not have children, nor is He begotten. Also, we should also know that the attributes or the names of Allah tabaraka ta'ala are not mahsura. That the names of Allah are not restricted by some adad, by some number. Allah does not just have 99 names. No. We misunderstand the hadith in Muslim where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَى وَتِسْعِينَ إِسْمًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. That Allah has 99 beautiful names. Whoever enumerates them, counts them, understands them, utilizes them in his daily or her daily life, will enter Jannah. It's hadith sahih in Muslim, authentic hadith. But unfortunately, we have made a mistake, we the Muslims. And when I mean we, I mean our brother who translated Muslim, I think his name is Abdul Hamid Siddiqui. May Allah give him a reward for his niyyah and his actions. Ameen. What he did was he took the unauthentic hadith that is collected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, if my memory serves me correctly. There's an unauthentic hadith that mentions 99 names of Allah that begins Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir, all the way down to the end, which is As-Sabur. This list of names in this hadith is da'if jiddan. This is not an authentic hadith. The chain of the hadith is not authentic. And what he did was he took that authentic hadith in Muslim and he took the unauthentic hadith with the list of the names and he superimposed it on the page in your Muslim English translation. So when you look at the hadith, you think that that hadith is a part of the hadith in Muslim, but it's not. It's from Abu Dawood, if my memory serves me correctly. Is it Sheikh Suhaib? And it's Tirmidhi. So there are some names that Allah has that He didn't reveal to us, that He kept with Himself. And there are some names that He gave to us. And some of the scholars of the past, they differ on what they are. In fact, some of the scholars of today differ on where they are and what they are. like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Al Uthaymeen, Hafizahullah, he believes that 81 of those names are found in the Quran, and 18 of them are found in the Sunnah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala alam. Allah knows best. But whatever they are, if you're able to find out what they are, because as we mentioned, Ibn Kathir had his 99, and Al-Baqilani had his, and I think even some people say he had 128. But whatever they are, if they're authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, we should try to memorize them and utilize them to get closer to Allah, to get as close to Allah as we can. We should call on Allah. فَدُعُوهُ فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. Call on Allah utilizing those names. And not just sitting in a dark room with some sheikh who has a turban which glows in the dark, saying Ar-Rahmanu, Ar-Rahimu. No, we get the good understanding of those names and utilize them in our daily lives. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Bi Rahmatika Astaghithu. Allahumma aslih li sha'ni kullahu wa la takilni ila nafsi tarafat al-ayn. We should use them in our daily lives. Oh Hayy, Oh Qayyum, call Allah, use these names. You need some money? Ya Ghani, Ya Al-Hamid. Ya Ghani, Ya Hamid, I ask you for $50 million or whatever. We should use these names to call on Allah tabaraka ta'ala. That's one of the reasons He gave them to us. We also should remember that Allah tabaraka ta'ala's names are all husna. All of His names are al-husna, meaning they have no defects, no shortcomings whatsoever. And if we ever see any name in the Quran or in the authentic Sunnah, and I think I only have what, 2 minutes left? 2 minutes, right? Pretty good, right? 2 minutes. If we see any of the names that gives us any ishkal, any problems, there's some vagary or problems in our minds, so how can Allah be the deceiver? No, there are some names, all Allah's names and attributes are husna. They're all perfect. But when we see some of the names that seem to have a good meaning on one side and a bad meaning on another side, if we look at the context of that name or that attribute, we'll find that Allah tabaraka ta'ala is attributing that name or attribute to Himself at a time when he is using that name or attribute in a combative manner. Right? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهِ or يُخَادِعُهُمْ. Right? Allah says, وَهُوا يُخَادِعُهُمْ. They try to deceive Allah and those who believe, and Allah deceives them. But Allah is not the deceiver. We can't say, oh deceiver. No. Allah is using this attribute. He's attributing this attribute to Himself at a time when the people, the infidels, the mushrikun, the pagans, are trying to deceive Allah and His Messenger and those who believe. So Allah uses this attribute at that time. Outside of that context, we don't say Allah is a deceiver. We don't find verses in the Quran that Allah Ta'ala says, surely from the alternation of the night and the day, there are signs and Allah is a deceiver. We don't find things like this, that Allah is the plotter. And lastly, on this point, in English, some American Muslims, no, many American Muslims, I'm speaking for the American Muslims now, not the English, the British Muslims or the Pakistani Muslims, I'm speaking only for the American Muslims now. Many American Muslims find this verse in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the makr, the plot or the plans of the kuffar, and then Allah ends it by saying wallahu khairul makirin, and Allah is the best of the plotters or the planners. We use this attribute out of context. First of all, Allah is using this at a time when they're trying to do it, like the deception. Because deception has good meaning on one side and bad meaning on the other side. The same thing with plotting and planning and scheming. On one side, plotting and planning has a good meaning, and on the other side, plotting and planning has a bad meaning. But some Muslims in America, many Muslims, and Allah knows best, take that attribute out and say Allah is the best of planners. No. We don't find Allah using that attribute like this, and Allah is the best of planners. No. This is one of those attributes, like a combative attribute. When the people are plotting against Allah, Allah is the best of plotters against them. So we should remember this. So inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala, we should try to sit with someone who has good knowledge in this tawheed, the aqidah of ours, the tawheed, especially in the area of asma wa sifat, and try to learn some of these principles. And so we can learn the names of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and learn the attributes of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, so we can call on Him utilizing them, so that inshallah we'll be counted among those people who will go to Jannah. And this is what we want. We just don't want to come to these lectures, come to speeches, come to classes, wherever you may live, for entertainment. Oh, Sheikh Suhaib Hassan is in town, let's go hear him. And we go home and we don't utilize one thing that we heard from him. Oh, Sheikh so-and-so, Adam so-and-so. No, we should stop coming to these lectures for entertainment, spending all this money, taking our time away from sometimes our families or whatever, and learn these things and don't utilize them. This is not beneficial knowledge. Knowledge is knowledge that you use, that you have benefit from. And that's why we seek refuge with Allah from knowledge that is not beneficial. So when we learn these principles of Asma wa Sifat, we should try with all our level best to implement whatever we learn. So when we leave this room, inshallah, we should take one of those names or those attributes, call on Allah by one of those names, for whatever we need. Oh Allah, I lost my meal ticket, which I did this afternoon. I lost my dinner and my lunch meal tickets. Take one of those names and call on Allah, inshallah, and then somebody will feed you, inshallah. So with that, inshallah, whatever I've said that is incorrect is correct is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Anything that I said is incorrect, it is from a shaitan or myself. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.